Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting. Kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello, everyone, for another week of the Hashtag Finance Master show. My name is Anders Leo Lindberg, and as usual, I'll be your host. Today's topic is around continuous improvement in finance, part of our series around hacking the annual wheel and maybe changing up our work a little bit, free up time for more value-adding work so that we can actually drive value in the business rather than just push around some numbers. I'll talk you through the blog post I released this morning, European time, called Continuous Improvement, the Path to a World-Class Finance Function. So let's kick things off. How do you define a world-class finance function? Simple. It's one that's cheap and good. Simple, right? Many finance functions have solved for being cheap. They have outsourced or offshored the more operational and heavy transactional parts of the finance function. In many instances, this has resulted in significant savings in labor arbitrage and general efficiencies. However, often these finance functions struggle with improving the finance operation services delivered away from the core business. And they almost forgot about the organization that remained close to the business. This created cheap but poor finance functions. That's because the quality delivered by finance operation wasn't high, driving the remaining organization to spend all their time in spreadsheets to manually consolidate and analyze data. We know this because we ask finance teams all the time when we work with them, how do you spend your time, in controlling or doing business partnering? 2/3 of the time is still spent in controlling. And I'm not saying controlling is not useful, not important. Of course it is, but we've got to do more partnering. We've got to do more value adding. Attempts were made to solve these deficiencies with new tools and systems. However, many CFOs remain dissatisfied with the output they get from their FP&A and business finance teams. What's worse, business leaders struggle to see the value provided by the finance function and push for further cost savings. It feels like a death spiral. In today's show, we discuss how to break this death spiral by sharing hacks that enable finance to remain cheap but become better. Simply put, it's to increase data quality to free time for value-adding analysis and business partnering. No news there. It's what we will refer to as the true holy grail of finance. You may recall earlier in this series, we talked about the annual report as the holy grail of finance. That's the false grail. Value-adding business partnering, that's the true grail. Before we continue, here's a question for you. Is your finance function also aiming for world-class, or are you settling for less? Why do we ask this question? Well, because many finance functions have a vision or mission statement that says, we want to become a world-class finance function. Yet, well, world-class, we'll get back to that. But what are we then trying to aim for? It's good to be ambitious, but we need to see progress as well. Let's start by sharing 5 hacks to increase efficiency. We're not yet at the point where we can call victory on what Deloitte called lights out finance, where no people are needed to run finance operations. You can definitely get far though with a modern ERP system and an updated tool stack. Still, if you had to start improving tomorrow, here are some hacks to try. Number 1, lean accounting practices. Adopt lean accounting principles to eliminate waste and optimize processes. This can include reducing batch sizes, minimizing handoffs, and implementing just-in-time processes for financial transactions. I remember when I was a finance manager doing month-end close, we wanted to go for a one-day close. Our average started at a 3.5-day close. We didn't get there every month, but through a rigorous improvement regime, we got there where some months we actually closed on the first working day. And if it hadn't been for intercompany reconciliations that didn't add up, we would have been there for all close processes except quarters and year end. That's what lean accounting practices can do for you. Number 2, streamline approval processes. Simplify and standardize approval workflows using digital tools to speed up processes like purchase order approvals and expense report approvals. I'm sure we've all experienced these things hanging in approval flows with business leaders not understanding what they need to do or putting in wrong accounts and whatever it might be, significantly delaying both our ability to accurately accrue for cost, but also to pay for vendors, for instance, which typically doesn't create a good relationship. Number three, automation of repetitive tasks. Implement robotic process automation, or RPA, to handle repetitive tasks, such as data entry, invoice processing, and reconciliations. This not only speeds up operations, but also reduces error. And this leads me back to a report I've often cited also on this show here, the CFO Now report from Accenture in 2021, where they said, also of course fueled by the pandemic back then, that the rate of automation in finance operations had increased from 30-something to almost 60%. I still find the numbers hard to believe, but I'm sure that the movement is right. A significant uptake in automation of finance operations processes. And you need to do more of this. Number four, centralized data management. Use a centralized data management system or enterprise resource planning, ERP software, to ensure all financial data is in one place, easily accessible and consistently updated, reducing time spent on data gathering and consolidation. Wouldn't that be nice? Possible for sure. So definitely aim for that one. And finally, implement self-service reporting. Enable self-service reporting for non-financial staff with tools like Power BI or Tableau, whatever you're using or inside your ERP system. This reduces the time for finance staff to spend on generating routine reports and allows other departments to get the information they need more quickly. This is even also good for effectiveness, which we'll come to in just a moment. Ensuring that business leaders have access to information will also help them improve their financial acumen. And maybe they will even point out some inefficiencies that they see, helping you to further improve. Benefits all around. And these are few of many hacks we could have presented. Yet, simply using continuous improvement methodologies, such as lean accounting, is a great way to remain competitive and efficient. So, to remain or become cheap, those are great hacks to use. Now, let's talk about becoming good. Let's share five hacks to increase effectiveness. Most finance functions have stopped here or struggle to increase effectiveness. Part of the reason is an outdated skill set in many finance teams. We've described in the article how CFOs can triumph in the war for talent, how to address this issue. So let's instead focus here on more process-oriented hacks. The first is driver-based planning and forecasting. Shift to driver-based planning and forecasting to focus on key factors that drive business performance. This approach makes your forecasting more dynamic and responsive to changes in the business environment. Plus, it can most likely decrease the time to forecast from 4 to 6 weeks. Yes, those are the numbers. We ran a poll on LinkedIn not that long ago, to maybe a week or less. That should at least be the goal. Number two, advanced analytics and data visualization. Use advanced analytics and data visualization tools to gain deeper insights into financial and operational data. And again, here, tools like Power BI, Tableau, Python, and whatever else you have can help identify trends, anomalies, and opportunities for improvement. Number three, scenario analysis and stress testing. Regularly conduct scenario analysis and stress testing to prepare for various business conditions. This helps in making informed decisions and developing robust contingency plans. What you want to avoid is being reactive. Sure, we're always reactive, right? Because we don't know exactly what will happen in the future. But if we have predicted a wider range of potential future outcomes, we're ready when that outcome hits. Because that outcome is likely not exactly what we plan for in our budget, for instance. Number four, integrated business planning, IBP. Implement IBP to align financial planning with operational planning. This ensures that financial plans are closely linked to the company's strategic goals and operational realities. We've also discussed IBP on this show quite a few times, and I must say that still many companies probably don't really have an IBP process. Many are working towards that goal, but it's still much planning in silos. That's also why Gartner, not very recently, in 2022, I think it was, invented the term XPNA, Extended Planning Analysis, to try and force us to use one approach for planning and analysis across the company. And IBP is a great way to do that. Finally, enhance collaboration across departments. Foster a culture of collaboration between finance and other departments. Regular cross-functional meetings, finance business partners, and collaborative planning tools can enhance communication and ensure financial insights are effectively integrated into business decisions. Never again do I want to hear the feedback on finance that finance is a faceless organization. No, you need to be out there with the business physically, If you are working in different parts of a geography, go travel to see them from time to time. Don't be a stranger. There are things the finance function can do in isolation, like driver-based forecasting, for instance, and scenario analysis. However, most of these initiatives truly become effective when driven together with the business. Integrated business planning is becoming a must to align company activities around strategic execution. This naturally requires a cross-functional collaboration, which has proven hard to establish in many companies. Perhaps an effective finance function with strong business partnering skills could be the catalyst for this, or I will be so direct to say it will be the catalyst for this, because that's what business partnering done right looks like. Here's another question for you. Have you already implemented some of these hacks? And if you have, what results have you seen? And now we have a question. I can't see the full name here, but I'm sure we can bring it up. It says, with extensive experience in financial reporting, strategic planning, and process optimization, I find it challenging to balance these responsibilities with improvement projects. What strategies can you recommend for integrating these projects into the annual wheel effectively, ensuring continuous process enhancement without sacrificing the quality of daily finance operations? If you have a very modern tech stack, you automatically free time. But oftentimes, that is not the case. And we face a choice between spending all our time getting to a 99% quality of the numbers versus taking a bit more risk and maybe accepting that, especially for forward-looking statements and decision-making in the future, which is what we want to do, that maybe 80% is good enough because we will spend less time getting there and we'll be more timely with our insights at the table. So I think we need to take a little bit more risk. We need to accept that instead of spending 6 weeks on our forecast, knowing it's not going to be accurate anyway, spending 2 weeks might yield the same results, at least for making decisions. So we've got to take a little bit more risks. That's the way to free time. And what I've often found is if we do that, if we deliver the value, we get more resources. So in that sense, it's a huge synergetic area here, right? But it usually starts with us taking a little bit more risk. And I know that's uncomfortable for most of us, but that is what we got to do. And we also have Steven here saying he has implemented some of the hacks in previous employment and the result was transformative. There you go. Do like Steven and see transformative results. I can almost guarantee you that this will happen. So thanks a lot for sharing that, Steven. And now we talked about efficiency and effectiveness. We talked about finance operations versus FP&A and business finance. To truly become world-class, there's one more thing we need to address. And those are the intra-finance function handover points. To truly become world-class, we also need to address the handover points between finance operations, FP&A, and business finance. This is often the cause of significant inefficiencies. Is that your experience? Let us know in the comments as well. Poor engagement and ultimately lower quality of output delivered from the finance function. So here are 5 hacks to improve the intra-departmental collaboration. Number 1, standardized processes and documentation. So develop and enforce standardized processes and documentation for handovers. This includes clear protocols for data transfer, standardized report formats, and checklists to ensure all necessary information is communicated effectively. If there is a standard that you can follow, it's much easier for FP&A and business finance teams to understand where data comes from and to query it or challenge it if need be. Number 2, integrated technology platforms. Use integrated technology platforms that allow real-time data sharing and collaboration between finance operations and business finance teams. ERP or EPM, Enterprise Performance Management, and collaborative tools such as Teams or Slack can facilitate smoother transitions. Right? So stay connected, both in the systems with the data, but also human-to-human activity. Right? You all work together. Let's work as a team. And to further that, host regular cross-functional meetings. Schedule cross-functional meetings to discuss ongoing projects, upcoming deadlines, and any other issues that need addressing. This ensures that both teams are aligned and any potential bottlenecks can be identified and resolved promptly. So do you actually have these teams? If you're in accounting, do you ever have meetings with FP&A? If you are in FP&A, do you ever schedule these meetings with accounting? If not, make it happen, please. Number 4, clear roles and responsibilities. So define clear roles and responsibilities for both finance operations and business finance teams. Ensure that everyone understands their part in the process and the expectations at each handover point. This can be documented in a RACI chart, responsibility, accountability, who's consulted, and who's informed in that matrix. If you don't have that today, go make one. And I'd add this, if you don't have it for the business functions or business leadership support, go make it as well. You need to understand what decisions are you supporting. Anyway, back to the interdepartmental handover point. The final one is feedback loops and continuous improvement. Establish feedback loops where both teams can share insights and suggestions for improving the handover process. Conduct regular reviews and post-mortem analysis after major projects or reporting cycles to identify areas for improvement and implement best practices. What we find most often missing is the feedback loop. Too often, there's a one-way flow of communication from finance operations into business finance and FP&A. This is a huge missed opportunity for finance operations to understand the context in which they're operating when preparing the numbers. In addition, it gives a greater sense of belonging when you understand how your output is being used and what decisions it improves. This should be a key focus area for most finance functions to become world-class. Question for you, is increasing interdepartmental collaboration in the finance function a focus area for you? Because my experience is that it's not really. We have Pakshina here from South Africa. He said it has also assisted to ensure less pressure on human capital and meeting deadlines. For sure. Go into any finance team and ask them, how are you doing? The most likely answer is, I'm busy. It's not, I'm fine. I'm happy today. I'm excited. No, it's I'm busy. And when that's the answer you get every time, it's obviously not a good sign. So you got to use some of these hacks here to at least be busy with the right things. You know, if you're busy with the right things, that can also make a huge difference. So please, if you're always giving the answer, I'm busy, do something about it. Okay, so we're talking about the path to a world-class finance function. Many CFOs have the world-class stamp mentioned in the vision for their finance function. Naturally, few achieve it, not least because it's a moving relative target measured against peers. Those who do, however, are committed to continuous improvement and strive to constantly increase the efficiency and effectiveness of their finance function. The hacks we have suggested here are not necessarily difficult to implement, however, cannot all be implemented at once. Most likely, you need to fix your finance operations first before tackling FP&A and business finance. Not least due to both these teams being dependent on high data quality to work with for sharing reliable insights with business leaders. So, what's happening out there in your finance function? And we have Felix just commenting here. He says, great presentation. Thanks, Felix. Really appreciate that. Tuning in from Kenya. Standardization of processes and documentation is very imperative for continuous improvement. And it is. I remember in my first job, I was working as a financial controller, and we had a very long annual reporting process. Probably we were one of the slowest companies in the major stock index to report. But through rigorous documentation of processes, standardization, better use of tools, we were able to significantly cut time down from the annual reporting. We cut a full month in just 2 years. Major achievement. There is exactly through this continuous improvement regime. So great point, great comment there, Felix. Thanks a lot for sharing. We got another question coming in here from PJ. I'm sure I pronounced that wrong. Sorry for that. But it says, how can finance managers add more value to an organization apart from the main routine tasks they perform? Great question. Because it's so easy to get caught up in the hamster wheel of always doing the same thing. Here's my tip for you. Go ask business leaders what they're working on. What's important for them? What are the priorities that they need to deliver on? And then help them do that. Be 100% customer focused. And you can never go wrong because you are smart people. You know how to solve many problems. You know how to help business leaders. You just need to put some more focus and attention there. So go and ask that simple question and everything else will solve itself. So thanks a lot for that question as well. And thanks a lot for the many great questions we had today. Thanks a lot for everyone tuning in. I think we're gonna close down for now. Next week we have the final episode of Hacking the Annual Wheel series. We'll talk about the finance function in the future, and we'll tee up our next series, which we have called Finance 2035. Here we will evaluate the predictions made by McKinsey, Deloitte, and others about finance in 2030. And then we'll push it even 5 years further out to make our predictions for what will finance function look like at that time. And we want your insights too. So if you want to be part of that series more than just showing up for the live shows here, send me a message. Tell me your story. Share your predictions. We want to know what's happening out there. But until then, my name is Anders Liv Lindberg, and this has been the Hashtag Finance Master Show.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting.